What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here. Do want to thank a great, they had a great interview this morning, the Arc of Weld County. They've got their annual pool party coming up this weekend at Discovery Bay. It's a fan favorite event for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So their family, staff, community members, people that are out there to support these wonderful, hardworking folks. The Arc of Weld County, again, that's this Saturday, July 23rd from 6:30 to 8:30. Have a great time out there. Celebrate. This is their 30th anniversary of promoting and protecting the human rights of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. That's this weekend. We got a banner ad up available at our website on 1310kfka.com. Joining me now on our first Advantage Hotline, Aaron Rath, color commentator for the UNC Bears. And Aaron broke down the offensive side of the ball last week for us a little bit. I'm very skeptical about the offense. I think they'll have a good run game, but still very skeptical. So I need Aaron. You got to tell me here. I'm skeptical about the offensive side of the ball. We got to make up for it on the defensive side of the ball, right?
I believe we make up for it wholeheartedly on the defensive side of the ball, and so does defensive coordinator Scott Darnell, who, by the way, said he dubbed himself the best-looking defensive coordinator in the nation. So,
I'd vote for that. He is a good-looking dude.
Yeah, but I do think that the defense is going to be solid this year. I mean, they were the most improved defense last year in the nation, and their goal this year is to be the number one defense in the nation.
Wow. I mean, lofty goals, but this was the thing last year, Aaron. I mean, it wasn't a great year for the Bears overall, but defensively, kept them in a lot of games where you thought, man, maybe they'd have no business being in. Go back to that first game of the season against the Buffs. That defense kept them right there and allowed for this offense, which we're kind of growing and Dylan McCaffrey's kind of getting used to it all. It kind of allowed them to stay in game. So defensively, man, if you're telling me they can get a little bit better than last year, that's a great sign for the University of Northern Colorado.
Yeah, and you think about last year, you know, David Hogue sets the sack record. And the defense never had the lead. So he was pinning his ears back going after those sacks in a lot of games where the other teams were run heavy because they had the lead. And Hogue still got the sack record. So, you let him loose and run around on the field and a lot of things can change.
Aaron, talk to us about David Hogue, a great young man, an amazing football player. You were in the studio yesterday. We were chatting a little bit about the defensive side of the ball, and you're thinking that maybe that Coach Darnell, they're looking at the situation where we want to see David Hogue kind of be a free agent out there, running around, making plays, not necessarily tethered to a certain a certain task at hand. They just want him to be out there because he has a nose for the football. He can find ways to get turnovers, get to the quarterback. You see him kind of more of one of those roaming defensive players that's just going to be a playmaker.
Yeah, his instructions from the coaching staff is find where you want to line up, set the defense up, and go get the ball. They kind of use him like the Broncos used Von Miller, you know, in their Super Bowl years and just said, go get the ball. That's your job, is to find the ball and get it. And that's how they're going to use him.
And you know, talk to us about some. Let's start with the defensive line. Obviously, we've had Brooks Talkington in here a couple of times. Such a great young man. He is really taking. I think he's taking a lot on himself and trying to turn this thing around. You know, he was frustrated with a lot of some of those reports a couple of months ago. He wants to be a leader of this football team. That defensive line is going to be pretty darn sharp, though. And again, we'll be excited to see what number 33 can do as well.
Yeah, Brooks is the energizer bunny of the group. He's the guy that gets up from making a tackle, and you're like, ooh, be careful. We don't need a flag on that play because that's just the kind of energy he has. This group, though, was hit pretty hard with transfers and kids leaving, but they have gone out and gotten a couple guys out of the portal. They got a big guy in Henry Garrison coming out of East Carolina. There is a player on the roster that's not on the official roster yet, but he is – completed all the transfer portal paperwork, and that's Lamar Goods. He's out of Florida. And then Austin Williams, who played in the middle of the defensive line last year, who really anchored against the run, did a good job, had entered the portal but has come back out of the portal and is staying at UNC. So that's a big helper. I think this defensive line is going to be good, and you're going to see them bounce back and forth in base between 3-4 and 4-3, depending on the situation and depending on who they want out there.
Man, and I'm excited about this defensive line, no question, but, man, Joe Golden, just watching him in the spring game, losing him, I know you wrote about it in your coverage of the defensive side, but losing him, certainly an impact. However, that's how good and deep this defensive line is, where losing a player like Joe Golden is tough, but they have a good enough group of guys that maybe that loss, you know, we won't feel that as much because of the depth chart.
I agree. The depth chart helps them out. Losing Joe Golden obviously hurts. He was a great player. But, you know, when you start talking about this defensive line, you almost have to include this, and this goes for NFL too, when you start talking about D-line and you run with the three guys in the middle, you kind of got to count those outside linebackers in that defensive line, because they're going to be rushing. You know, the Bears did a lot last year where there were a couple plays where they had nobody with their hands on the ground. There were a couple plays where they had five guys with their hands on the ground. So they're very versatile in what they can do with the talent that they bring to this defense.
We're talking to Aaron Rath, color commentator for the UNC Bears, and football side of things. Cannot wait for the season to get started. Let's talk about the linebacking core here. Obviously another stud player. We like to talk about RJ Potts. I'm excited to see how he does another year in this system.
Oh, this linebacker core is going to be special. I feel bad for Coach Darnell in trying to figure out the depth in this defensive line, or the linebacker core, excuse me. I mean, you've got David Hogue, obviously. You've got RJ Pott. Vincent King, who's a sophomore this year, is coming in, and he came in and hit the weights hard this offseason. He's looking really good. And then they hit the transfer portal again, and they get a kid named Tama Tuatili, a transfer out of Navy, who is fast, quick downhill, hits the holes hard, good against the run, good against the pass, and Coach Darnell said he is very much the athlete that Jace Bobo was for the Bears, but a little bit better in a few areas. So he's going to be a big player in that as well. And then you've got so many freshmen that are coming in this group. Ezra Ekubon, name sound familiar?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And from what I'm hearing, he is as great of an athlete as his dad was. Jacob Stanton, who transferred in last year out of Colorado State, he looks really good. They've probably got about 8 or 9 linebackers right now that could easily start and do really well. So depth in the linebacker core is really, really good.
It's interesting seeing those names like Ekubon, though, Aaron, because with Ed McCaffrey, you are, whether it's on his coaching staff or it's sons of dudes he played with or knew in the league, you are certainly seeing that. And, you know, we talked about how big is the McCaffrey name when it comes to recruiting. Well, just the connections he has, you know, guys that have eaten, breathed, lived, slept football their whole lives that he knows of. Well, you're starting to see these names of their kids join the roster, and then names of guys he was around on the coaching staff. So I personally love that, being a big Broncos guy in the 90s.
Yeah, you got to wonder if he just called him up and said, hey, Ebenezer.
Right?
We got a spot for your kid.
I'm a Madden guy, too. I was always Ebenezer. I was always playing as him, too. So I love that
too.
Side of it. Yeah, no question.
I was, too.
It's exciting. But talk to us. I'm going to probably butcher this. Tama Tuatili, is that right? You were talking about him yesterday and how the Bears were able to land a guy like this. You're saying that his presence on the defensive side of the ball is going to allow David Hogue, as you said, to just go find the football, go make plays. So that's going to be a nice luxury for Hogue, too, having Tama come in.
Yeah, I mean, he's out of Aurora. So, you know, he went to Navy, and I guess something didn't work. He didn't like it there, so he comes back home. And, you know, it's just like when you have that one player, everybody knows David Hogue. David got away with a lot last year because in his freshman year, David wasn't the same David. He didn't play the same way. And even talking to Coach Darnell, he wasn't supposed to be a starter last year. But then he went on that CU game and he had a sack in that second drive, and they went, this kid needs to be playing more. But Tama coming in is going to free up that blocking, right? They're going to have to know where Tama Tuatili, number 45, is, and that's going to take guys away from number 34, David Hogue. I really think those two playing opposite of each other, and really Tama is more of a Mike linebacker, a middle linebacker, and as Coach Darnell said, he's a really true middle linebacker. He can play against the run. He can cover the tight ends if they come across the middle. He is a true, true linebacker on the middle of the defense.
We're talking to Aaron Rath, color commentator for the UNC Bears football team, and we're getting set for coverage. I cannot wait to get into fall camp. We're breaking into the defense a little bit, and a great write-up available at 1310kfk.com by Aaron, kind of putting together his thoughts as far as what the team looks like, the depth chart in his opinion. How about the cornerback group? When I was out at practice a couple of times for spring, I will say this. I don't know if I can tell you if they're really, really good or not, but they can talk a little trash, man. They were getting after it. I even saw Dylan McCaffrey kind of raise up a little bit. Like, what's going on, man? They are certainly going to push these wide receivers in practice.
Yeah, I probably, out of the three position groups, I think that this one right here excites me the most. They have gone out and gotten some talent. Cameron Murray, who's going to be probably their number one cornerback coming out of Wyoming. And then Tyzel Lewis is a transfer out of junior college. They bring him in. He's going to be their second cornerback. Then they're bringing back Jordan Napke. Jordan was their defensive captain last season. He played five plays in that CU game, got hurt, and didn't play any during the rest of the season. He's back 100% cleared. Nick Ciccio is the kind of guy, coach told me, NFL scouts call him weekly about Nick Ciccio, and he's coming off of some shoulder surgery, but he's 100%. And then you're Ryan Hudson, who has probably the highest football IQ on this defense, is back. And then probably the biggest trash talker that you're talking about is Tywan Harris.
Yes.
He's probably going to factor in the top six. And, you know, when you start talking about the defense in the top six, that's exactly what you want, is to have a solid six. But beyond that, they're really good. They're bringing in a lot of good freshmen. Probably the top of the freshman class is Rocco Traore. He's going to be a good cornerback. So I'm excited for this group. I really think that in this position group, and linebackers as well, if someone goes down, there's someone that's going to step in immediately and not miss a beat.
Well, and you got another former Bronco there, too, leading this group, and Jimmy Spencer, too. I mean,
yep.
The list goes on and on. If you were a Broncos fan in the 90s or into the 2000s, you knew Jimmy Spencer.
Yeah, and he does a lot for this group. He is a super coach. You never hear anything but great things about Jimmy Spencer and kids wanting to come to UNC and play for him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Aaron, I'm excited. Defensively, they've been building this thing up. How much does Coach McCaffrey have a say in the defensive side? Because as you talked about with Scott Darnell, he knows his stuff. He's very good on the defensive side. How much is Ed really involved with that? Because we know, his son's the quarterback. His other son's the offensive coordinator. He's an offensive guy. But how much does he speak into the defensive side?
I think he probably has discussions with Coach Darnell, but I firmly believe that he 100% has his full trust in Coach Darnell and recruiting and getting the guys that he needs and setting the defense up. I think Coach McCaffrey is 100% focused. Okay, I won't say 100%. I'll back that up. He's 99% focused on the offense, right? And Coach Darnell has that defense locked up.
All right. So, and you haven't given us. We did predictions in spring. I don't know if those mean anything yet. When can we expect the win total from you, Aaron? I mean, what are you thinking with this team? Is this the year, not only for Ed McCaffrey, that we see the turnaround, but we are starving for UNC to be a consistently good football program. Loved Ernest. I think he got six wins twice in his career, but other than that, it was pretty rough. Do you see the turnaround happen this year?
I think I do. For one thing, their schedule is nothing like it was last year. I mean, last year, they, out of the eight conference games, five of them were top 25 teams when they played them. So they had a really tough schedule last year. I think their schedule this year is much better, much easier. And I have a poll out right now on my Twitter account, asking people, and right now, it's kind of a three or less or a 5 to 6 wins. I kind of see them in the 6 to 7 wins, but I'm actually doing a write-up right now for the site, breaking down each game, looking at historically how these teams have matched up, some key players from the other teams I'll talk about, and I will give my prediction for each game going through the season, and I expect that to be out probably middle of August, a couple weeks before the season starts.
Throw those predictions up on the website, man. I love reading it. I know a lot of our listeners love going there to see these breakdowns, because you're just not going to get them anywhere else. So appreciate all that you're doing. Got a chance to catch up with you and Blake yesterday. I know you guys have some big things in store for the broadcast and just coverage overall this team. So we're pumped for it, man. We're going to see coverage of the UNC Bears unlike anything before. Let's just hope the wins follow that.
Yeah, I agree. This is going to be my 7th season doing this, and I've had one season that was a winning season, so I'd like to get a second one.
It would be nice, wouldn't it, man? I'm ready for it, and things are so much easier to talk about here. We're going to 3 hours starting August 1st. I would much rather have a UNC Bears team to talk about on a weekly basis, on a positive side of things. So here's hoping that Coach McCaffrey can get this thing right. Like you said, it's been a while. You know, you haven't seen a lot of winning seasons. I've been up here. I went to school up here. I haven't seen a lot of them either, so I'm just ready, man. I want to see this program actually breathe some life into Greeley, Colorado.
And I think they're poised. I think this defense is going to be really, really good. I'm not as skeptical on the offense as some people are. I think the offense is going to be middle of the pack offense. And I think if they can do that, stay middle of the pack, be good, and the defense be as good as they are, I think 7 wins is easily achievable.
Aaron, my man, appreciate you as always. We'll be looking forward to catching up with you down the road as we get a little bit closer. But that first game of the season is right around the corner, so we're looking forward to it, my friend.
Thanks, Brady. 45 days.
I knew you'd have the countdown for me. All right, my man. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right.
There
he
is, Aaron Rath, color commentator for the Bears. Everything that I've heard is that he's 100% right on the defensive side of this ball, that this team is going to turn it around defensively. You know, get out there, enjoy some local football, man. I think it's going to be a positive. You said 3 wins, Jades. Was it 3 wins last year for the Bears? I'm 100%. I'm giving you the Brady Hole stamp of approval here. They will improve upon that number. How much? Don't know. Again, Dylan McCaffrey has to be better. I hate putting pressure on young kids and great guys, but he has to be better defensively. I think they are going to be good. They're going to be fun to watch. So get your tickets ready, man. I mean, I believe Ed McCaffrey when he says, hey, I'm dedicated to this program. I'm here for the long haul. I want to be here and I want to build. I know that really is. You know, I was skeptical. A lot of people were skeptical. But after I told you, Jades, I sat down with Coach McCaffrey for several hours one snowy afternoon, and he walked me through so much that I am honored because I got to learn, for better or worse, I got to learn about this program and the ins and outs and, you know, some of the struggles in the Big Sky Conference. So let's turn this thing around. Let's get out there and support local sports, local football, because I do think that we start to see the turnaround this season. How great will that be? I'm not sure, but the turnaround will begin this year. 39 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, we'll see if we can catch up with Kevin Lytle from the Mountain West days, Mountain West Media days in Vegas. Certainly a lot to gain from him as far as what Craig Thompson, the commissioner, has to say, what some of these coaches have to say about everything. So I'm very curious to get Kevin on the program tomorrow and find out more on that. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Colorado State's being picked to finish 4th in the Mountain West Mountain Division. Will they finish higher or lower? 2 teams picked in front of them. Or 3 teams, excuse me, if I could do math there, Jades. You got Boise State, rightfully so. They're bringing back Hank Bachmeier, so I think and they got their second-year coach who will, I think, get this thing back on track. Boise State, legend. Air Force, I'm really starting to like watching Air Force football. I used to not. Now I'm, like, all in. run 87 times and throw it twice. That's fine. I like it. Utah State. But the drop-off, it's like Boise State and Air Force and everybody else in the mountain. Wyoming picked to finish 5th. New Mexico picked to finish 6th. So interesting there. Who needs to step up for the Rockies? You know, you start the season again, your second half of the season coming up on Friday. And it, Jades, I mean, it's going to be a test. They are 7 games under 500 right now. The wild card picture is a mile in front of them. And that's better than 20 miles. They can see. They get their binoculars on. They can see the wild card back end race in front of them. But the rest of July and maybe August could be done talking about this in 3 weeks, maybe 2 weeks. Because you can't drop below 10 games under 500 probably again, right? I mean, is that fair to say? You drop 10 games below, you're going to be too deep into this season to come back. I told you, six games out of that final wild card spot? That's 2 to 3 weeks worth of baseball, if not more. Assuming, you know, the other teams don't fall flat on their face and then you don't win every game. It's going to go like you're going to win a game or two here. You're going to win a series or two here. It's going to take like 2-3 weeks just to catch up from where you are at that point. So if you lose this next week and you come out the gates cold, you're going to be in trouble. But Jade, it's not really on the offensive side. You know, it's not really on the bats. You were telling me, what, 9 players? Or is it 9 players for the Rockies are batting over or higher than the league average at this stage?
Yeah, and all of which are, well, except for 2, are all in different positions. You could almost make a full roster.
Wow.
The only player or the only position you're missing is a catcher, whereas Brian Servin's hitting .241, 1 point under league average.
Chris Bryant, to be fair, has only played in so many, what has he played, 30 games or something like that? But still, when he's in, this team's winning baseball games. Chris Bryant, I mean, he's got to lead this team. The Rockies are really good when Chris Bryant plays for this team. I mean, that's just the brass tacks. They're 18-15 when Bryant plays. So they need him in. He's a leader. He's that good of a player. He's a threat. I look at a guy like Ryan McMahon, and it's not 246 isn't bad. I want to see him step up. I'm going on the pitching side of things. I think it's got to be Herman Marquez has got to be better. He has to be better. You know, his ERA is rough. He's not winning a lot of games. You need to get to that point where if he's starting pitching for you, he's giving you a real shot to win a baseball game.
Well, and his opponent batting average is .275 this season.
Whew. Yikes. So who are you looking at? Who are you saying, all right, this guy, one guy, and I know it's a team sport, but one guy individually has got to step up.
I honestly, he hasn't been bad, but he's just been average, and I want something more out of him. I think it's got to be Randall Grichuk. I mean, he's a...
Who's been getting better as the season is progressing here? Still very good in the outfield, but, you know, you want to see him really pick that up consistently with his bat.
Right, yeah, he's batting .248, so right around league average, but he's got 74 strikeouts, which is a little bit higher than I was hoping for, but I don't know. I really think him being at the lower end of the lineup, he could really start sparking something down there and helping out those younger guys that are batting down there with him. I think that's what the Rockies are going to need, essentially, because, yeah. I mean, they've proven thus far that it's not going to come from the pitching, and if it can't come from the pitching, why not have a leader at the bottom of the lineup?
Yeah, no doubt. You got to see, offensively, you're going to have to probably double it up. You're going to have to be even better than what we've seen. I don't have faith in the pitching staff. I really don't. I like Freeland. I'm rooting for him, man. But, you know, and Marquez, those guys just have not consistently stepped up this year. Freeland's had his stretch of really good games. Marquez, you know, he just gets inside of his head. You know, if he struggles out the gates, he can calm down, but sometimes it's too little too late.
Well, and all I'm saying, Brady, is Friday marks the start of trade season.
Are they buyers or sellers?
They got to be buyers. If they want to compete.
Well, then who are you moving realistically? I saw an article in the Denver Post. Charlie Blackmon's name's popping up again. It always pops up, and he's actually putting together a decent season.
I feel like he's one of the more realistic bats that you
could
trade.
Nobody wants to see that guy go, though. That's right. The thing. Like, I suggested it 2 years, 3 years ago when he was even better, And I actually had one of the broadcast crew from KOA come at me on this. It was asinine to suggest that Charlie Blackmon ever get traded. And yet the Rockies traded Nolan Arenado. So, I mean, things can happen. 50 minutes after the hour. Wrapping up the show on the other side. What do we got for TV tonight, Jades? We're going to be scraping here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Fifty-four minutes after the hour, almost done here. And we do have baseball tomorrow. No Rockies tomorrow, but baseball tomorrow. Slim pickings tonight as far as TV goes, unless you're a soccer fan or a WNBA fan or, you know, although I do think the WNBA game that was on was this morning or something. It's already over, Jades. So, really, this is a good opportunity to catch up on Stranger Things or whatever you're watching on Netflix. We'll get back to baseball tomorrow. Rocky's back at it on a Friday. We'll have some fun, man. We're going to have Kevin Lytle join us from Mount West Days, Media Days, tomorrow. Help us answer that question. Will the Rams finish better than fourth in the Mountain West Mountain? I think they will, but not much better. It's going to do it for us. Betting Across America coming up next. Good night, Northern Colorado. The 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. As always, we're live from the Allo Communications studios. And of course, you can hear us. You're listening to us on 103.1, 1310 KFKA, or you're listening online, 1310KFKA.com, or via the TuneIn app, free app on the KFKA side of things. And you can bring us with you wherever you go. So you won't miss a thing. Whether it's Good Morning NoCo, Clark and the Coach, this program, the whole show, Betting Across America coming up at 2 o'clock. Absolutely love what Mike Pritchard and the gang are doing with that program. So I've heard from a lot of people throughout the community. They come up to us, they're like, dude, we take that guy's advice all the time, and it's rolling for us. So write it down. I know there's nothing crazy to look at today and tomorrow, but they'll be breaking down the second half of the baseball season soon enough. And we'll talk about the Rockies coming up a little bit later on. You know, who's got to step up? Who's the guy you need to see from the Rockies the most step up in the second half? This team's really good when Chris Bryant is not hurt. I mean, I'm just going to say it. They have a winning record when Chris Bryant plays, and I'll go through that and how important he's going to be in this second half stint if the Rockies want to make something out of this deal. You know, right now, they're not that far out of the wild card spot. That could quickly change when we start Milwaukee play on Friday. It's a tough schedule coming up for the Rocks, so we'll get to that. But, Jades, we need to get to it today in the NFL. We continue our AFC West journey. Who's the best in the West? Whew. The Broncos. I told you yesterday, we're breaking down defense this week. Denver, I really need to see Denver rank high here, at least top two in the AFC West, if I'm going to feel any better about my Broncos AFC West prediction. So far, I've got them number one in one group. And that's the running back group. I do have them at number two in the safety group. That was their, you know, other than number one, I didn't have them at top two in any other position group on the offensive side of the ball. However, defensively, I do like Justin Simmons that much. And Kareem Jackson, I don't think has had as big a drop-off as everybody, you know, some of the national media really believe. So I put the Broncos at number two as far as the safeties go. Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, and Chiefs when you look at the safeties. Now I'm looking at the cornerbacks. And with Denver, Patrick Surtain was so good last year, and I love Surtain. I could watch that guy play football. Give me a camera just on that guy playing coverage on these wide receivers. He's going to have his work cut out for him because the Raiders and the Chargers have elite wide receiving cores, no doubt about it. So Patrick Surtain, a lot of pressure is going to be on him. I think he's already kind of in that upper echelon of cornerbacks. And so that will raise the average for Denver. According to Pro Football Focus, he's ranked 39th out of 116 as far as starting corners, you know, two starting corners per team. So he's in that upper range. That's based off of 1 year. That's based off of his rookie season. You know, he had 49 tackles. He allowed 49 receptions. That was on 85 targets, 58% allowed. 4 interceptions. I think he's only going to get better. But it's not all about Patrick Surtain. You got Ronald Darby, who kind of has just become more of an average type corner. You know, 47 tackles. Yeah, he 2020 was much better. He had 51 tackles, allowed 50 receptions on 92 targets for 54% completion rate. He's almost, 28, 29? So he's getting up there. Surtain brings this team up. You know, he's an A player already. You know, I know I'm putting a lot of stock into the sophomores for this team in Javonte Williams and Patrick Surtain, but I really believe those are the building blocks that we're looking at for years to come. And I know Russell Wilson is the fix-it-now guy. He's probably going to be here for a while. But those two position groups there, those two players in Javonte Williams and Surtain, I'm really high on. I think they're going to build around him. But, you know, the rest of the depth chart for Denver, you know, you're looking at Damari Mathis, Kwon Williams, Michael Ojemudia is still on this team. You know, we thought he might be a pretty decent corner 2 years ago, and he played well his rookie year, fell off last year. He's still on this depth chart, so we'll see if he makes the team. Not the greatest cornerback group in the world. Luckily, I don't think the AFC West has, you know, a monster depth chart here. When you look at the conference or the division as a whole, the Chargers, again, there's that name again. I've got him with the best O-line in the division. I've got him with the second-best wide receiver core in the division, second-best running back group, second-best quarterback group. I've got him as the first-rated safety group. Look at the corners. J.C. Jackson is a stud. I mean, you could make a case that he's one of the better cornerbacks in all of football, not just the AFC West. You know, in 2021, he put up really good numbers, 45 tackles, 50 receptions allowed, 98 targets, so 51% allowed, 8 interceptions, a forced fumble. Best year, you know, probably his best year. In 2020, he was pretty good. So he's going to be somebody to really watch out for. He's that good of a corner, and he's better than Pat Surtain at this point. Like I said, I really like Patrick Surtain. But you got to look at J.C. Jackson as one of the top guys in this division. That raises their grade up big time. You know, as far as their depth goes, you know, what they're looking at, J.C. Jackson, Asante Samuel Jr., another guy that they believe, you know, I thought might be a decent pickup for Denver if that was the route they were going. Now, I said I would certainly love to see, as far as corners go, Patrick Surtain. But Asante Samuel, he's probably going to make a big step, a big push here going forward. They did get former Bronco and Bryce Callahan. And if Bryce Callahan can stay healthy, then he's a big piece, you know, to any team that he's a part of. So, yeesh. Chargers look good. You move down the needle a little bit. The Raiders, they got what? Rock Yasin, is that how you say? I always screw up his name. He was traded to the Raiders, kind of an under the radar type of deal. Pro Football Focus doesn't even have a ranking for him. He's a little, you know, he's right around average, probably right around Darby. So maybe he evens that out. Trayvon Mullen, the big question mark here. And another average-type cornerback since being drafted. They thought he was going to be much better going forward, but still kind of virtually unknown, so you kind of put him in that average category. They don't have any special cornerbacks. So, again, the Broncos are going to beat the Raiders out because of Patrick Surtain, in my mind. Kansas City, you know, look at Trent McDuffie.
He was. I mean, he's last year, what, 25 tackles, 10 assists, one sack in his final season with Washington, with his college stats in any way. And so how good is he going to be in this first year? I again, it's an unknown, and unknowns are kind of scary for me to project. I can't imagine he's going to be better than Patrick Surtain. So I'm not going to put the Chiefs up there. In his final season in college, pretty solid. You know, and again, you can't really use those to correlate to the next level, but he's probably going to be a starter for the Chiefs. So that will be interesting to see on that side of it, how they do, you know, with their corners. The Chiefs still haven't really addressed, you know, their defensive side of the ball. You know, they had their moments last year where it seemed like they were getting better. But I'm just not going to be going crazy about this cornerback group. Trent McDuffie, Legarius Sneed, DeAndre Baker. No, I like Denver's cornerback group over those guys as well. So here's where I'm sitting with it. I got the Chargers taking this thing as far as corners. The Chargers have the best group of corners overall. And again, you know, you start with their top corner, their shutdown corner, and then you look at everybody else. J.C. Jackson's one of the best in the NFL, so he's going to raise that average. And then Asante Samuel Jr., is going to be pretty damn good. So there's another Charger sighting. So I have them as the best with the best safety group and now the best corner group. I like the Broncos next, Raiders and Chiefs. So the Broncos, look at that. Safeties and corners the exact same. Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, Chiefs. It's the same way with the safeties. So the secondary, I certainly like the Broncos. I do. Justin Simmons and Patrick Surtain kind of leading this group for Denver. I like them sitting at number two. So defensively, feeling much better about my AFC West pick because I think the Broncos are going to be a run team. Even with Russell Wilson, they're going to run the ball a lot. But defensively, I think even without Vic Fangio, the mastermind defensive guy, without him running the show, I still think Ajiro Viro, is poised to put together kind of a decent defense. He's a virtually unknown defensive coordinator. Nathaniel Hackett, unknown. Justin Allen. I mean, we don't know a lot about this coaching staff, but there is some talent on the defensive side of the ball for Denver, certainly in that secondary. So we'll see how that one holds up. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Before we break, got to tell you about On the Rocks Liquor. Got our game beer of the week from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins, Sippin' Lemonade Sour. But I got to remind you, stop by, check out what Bud Light has come out with those amazing 16-ounce aluminum twist-off cans saluting the Stanley Cup champs in the Colorado Avalanche. All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk to Aaron Rath, color commentator for the UNC Bears. I'm not crazy about this offense for the Bears. How good can this defense be? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.